Israel, Israel, Zion's army, all of us against the world. We're the right ones, they're the wrong ones. Strike them all down, yeah, let's strike first. Hope of Israel, rise in might. Cutting open their soft flesh with truth and right. Sound the war cry, don't strike last. Let's go out and kick their ass.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today you're going to hear a mini smackdown that Matt and Scott and I recorded back in January. And, well, I just kind of forgot about it. But it's fun, and it's timely, because April is upon us, and April is a month of rebirth. So what better month than April to bring back a voice that everyone loves to hate? The one and only Mike Tannehill. So, in April, expect to hear, or to avoid hearing, a lot of Mike this upcoming month. There will be throwback episodes to reacquaint new listeners with Mike, since it's been a few years since we've had him on, and most of those old episodes are buried deep in our back catalog. You'll also get more McConkie Seven Deadly Heresy Smackdowns, which Mike will participate in. You'll hear from the top three winners of our last essay contest, and we'll also set the stage for the next essay contest, which will start on May 1st, 2018. If you want to be a part of that contest, please submit your essays to infantsonthrones@gmail.com by April 30th, and I'll update the information on the website so you can go there for more details if you want to be part of the next essay contest. So it's going to be a fun, full April with lots of content. Did I mention that there will also be a new General Conference parody coming up as well? It's going to be a great month. And May is going to be full of listener content, as well as more smackdowns and parodies and Wednesday night live recordings and yada, yada, yada. So be excited. Be very, very excited. And, you know, come support us on Patreon if you haven't already, because, you know, even as little as $1 a month can help keep the podcast keeping on. Because, you know, through small and simple things, great things and all that. Anyway, some super fun, cool, interesting stuff on the horizon. And now, to help you take maybe a little break from the stress of your Easter General Conference, Joseph Bishop's sex scandal, continued fallout-riddled weekend, I give you this. I had a phone call with Mike Tannehill the other day I want to talk to you guys about.
Are you serious?
Okay. Mike Tannehill called me.
Okay.
So there was a Bill Real made some post on a Facebook page and somebody tagged me on it for some reason. And I went and I looked at it and Bill was saying something like, we know that none of the stories in the Mormon Church are true anymore. This isn't true. This isn't true. What's left? Kind of a thing. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I'll have that conversation. And Mike commented. And so I thought, oh, maybe I'll get Mike and Bill together and we'll do a podcast together.
See, it's your fault I saw that thing because he tagged you. And so it came on my feed and I'm like, why the fuck is this?
Oh, okay. So you saw that on there.
That my Mormonism here.
I really did.
Wait.
I don't put Mormonism on here. Real has to say about anything.
but so... So we were talking about doing something together and Mike called me and he told me how he's still talking with the stake president because he thinks that you remember a couple of years ago with the essays.
Yeah, yes. I know where you're going.
Mike is still having a problem. Like Mike is going through his own private apostasy where he thinks that the brethren are off the rails, but this and he's is, so frustrated this, with his local leadership because. What's that?
They're not racist enough.
Oh, right. Yeah. For Mike. It was hilarious because when...
Blacks and the priesthood essay specifically.
No, when Mike called me, I had him on... I was in the car with my girls taking Layla to violin lessons. And so they heard the conversation and Mike went off on gays. And Layla's like,
who is this guy? Why are you talking to this person? Asshole. I hate him. I hate that guy. And, you know, I'm like, Mike, what? Why do you still hate gays so much? You know, anyway, it was like, I hadn't talked with Mike Tannehill in years. It was so interesting to hear that he's still kind of in that space, but he's frustrated because the church isn't racist enough, or they're not, that they've gone away from some of their more, awful teachings, and he's just having an issue with that. But he posted something on my Facebook page that I thought it might be kind of fun to do, like a quick little smackdown with you two, if you guys want to read it. It's called, it's something that was written. Do you remember? I think this was back in like 2008, 2009. Somebody did like an Onion version for Mormons that was called the Sugar Beet.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know.
So quick,
Mike Tannehill, if I can. Mike Tannehill, I'm not, you know, this is very un-Jesus.
Very un-dude.
But
oh, Jesus condemns people too. You can condemn him.
No, I want to do more than that. Mike's problem is he didn't get punched in the face enough.
Hmm.
Like he needed to be punched in the face at least one more time than he has in his life. In fact, I'd like to volunteer to have the opportunity to punch Mike in the face just once.
Well, maybe we should create a special Patreon category.
No, I don't think
so. No, I'm fairly confident. Here's what I will offer up. I will give Mike the first shot at me, and he can punch me in the face.
No. Like, see, you're missing the opportunity here, Matt.
I feel like it might be.
Ignoring him is the appropriate thing. Okay. See, we need to get back to ignoring all the racists and bigots in this country, as we were doing.
What? Sorry, my wife says
I can't punch.
My wife says I can't punch him.
Okay.
I'm not going to punch.
All right. Can we read something, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So pull up your Facebook page. Well, no, I'll send you a link here on Zoom. This was published on the Sugar Beet. So this is a parody. This is a Mormon, a faithful Mormon parody.
Church unveils slow track program.
Yes.
Okay. Here we are.
Start, Scott.
Church unveils slow track program, Salt Lake City. In order to better meet the needs of our most average members, Church Representative Howard S. Jeppesen announced the creation of a new slow track membership program. This program caters to those members of the church who may not be top-level celestial material, but who are still willing to put in nominal effort toward their own salvation, he said.
The slow track program includes the same components of normal church membership, but at a more relaxed pace. Members who sign on for the program are required to read scriptures and have personal and family prayer once a week, attend church once a month, visit teacher home, teach four times a year, and watch one session of general conference every other year. If slow track members can commit to these requirements for 5 years, they can earn a temple recommend stamp with an S for slow track, after which they're expected to attend the temple semi-annually. According to Jeppesen, the church may create a shorter, condensed version of the temple ceremony for S-track members in order to better accommodate those members' shorter attention spans and lower levels of ambition.
Okay, this is actually kind of funny. So this is parody from members who think that the church isn't being strong enough.
Right. Yeah, that like all of the demands of being a Mormon, like for anybody who thinks that all of the demands of being a Mormon are unreasonable, we've created a slow track for you.
Right. These are for the people who can't do
every damn thing that the church is saying you have to do.
The funny thing is, they'd have a lot of people, dude, who would be interested in this program.
Like, I could, right, be one.
I know. I was going to say, I might have never left.
Oh, it would have taken me a long-ass time. If I'm like, what?
But what? And what is the mindset? What is the mindset that thinks of this as a joke? Because it's so, like, horrible to me. Like, when I read this now and I understand the incongruities that are being exposed here through the humor, it's that they're, you know, like, as Matt kind of blew through the slow track thing, it didn't really even compute what they were saying. You have to stop and think about it. They're like, oh, you have to read your scripture and do it once a week. Oh, you mean instead of three times a day?
Yeah.
Because like once a week, I'm like, man, I haven't done that in years. Once a week, yeah. That sounds exhausting.
Right.
So, Mike put this on my page.
Once a week.
And it just like hit me in the face of how far out I am. So
let me go on to the next one. Right. Once a week.
Yeah.
In addition to church and the other stuff. So yeah, semi-annually, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's the funny thing is what they're describing here. Yeah, it seems kind of reasonable.
Seems like what normal people might do with the religion.
Yeah. This is what, true religious people do, not fanatics.
Yeah. Okay. Well, are we going to finish it here?
Yeah. So I'll read the next one. And I love the little play on name here. Social historian Jane Shippen, instead of Jan Shipps, PhD, a longtime scholarly observer of Mormon society, hails the new slow track program. Mormonism pays a great deal of attention to its high achievers, like those who are stake presidents before they turn 40, or women who have 8 children and maintain a spotless house, she observed. Similarly, she continued, Mormons spend a lot of time and energy worrying about those on the other end of the spectrum, the less active. She sees the Slow Track program as a way to acknowledge and honor the vast majority of Mormons, those who will never hold high positions of leadership, but who are nevertheless active, the sloggers, if you will.
Okay, if they didn't have sloggers in there, that's almost that's really a fantastic little...
They could almost use that.
See, but to me, it's like very schizophrenic. It's like, what are you saying? Are you saying that these things are good, or are you saying that these things are bad? Because I almost agree with what that's saying. Like this is poking fun at how extreme Mormons take success, like the mother of 8 children with the spotless house. Like, that seems like a critique of Mormon culture. Not that you would be propping that up as the ideal to strive for, and you're poking fun at the slow trackers. Like, it seems very, very schizophrenic. It reminds me of that scene in Seinfeld when Bryan Cranston was the dentist, and they're like, are you offended with him because he's pretending to be Jewish? He's like, no, it's because he's trying to be a comedian. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I'm offended because he's trying to be a comedian. Anyway. All right, Scott.
Yeah. Logan Stake President Gary L. Hackett agrees with Shippen and says that the new Slow Track program, quote, will prod the lazy ones into progressing at least a little bit, which is an improvement. He estimates that implementing the Slow Track will cut administrative tasks, such as nagging phone calls to complete home or visiting teaching, as much as 75%. It's about time we recognize that not everyone in the church is that top 10% of the Celestial Kingdom material, he notes. And really, that's okay. I mean, the bottom 2 levels of the Celestial Kingdom are supposed to be pretty good too, right?
See, and like that I really believed that. Like there was a time in my exodus out of the church when I started thinking, the Celestial Kingdom and the Terrestrial Kingdom, they're really not that bad anyway. So why are we so gung-ho on the Celestial Kingdom? And that attitude was met with nothing but disdain.
Well, but these are the bottom 2 levels of the Celestial Kingdom, not
the
Celestial. Sure.
Yeah.
Terrestrial.
Oh, that's good. That's a good point. I do remember...
But there's no official doctrine on what the distinguishing level, the 3 levels within the Celestial Kingdom, there's no answer for. What are those 3 levels?
That's not a what.
No.
Well, there's no real answer. I mean, there's
random. Well, in DNC 132 gives an indication that if you're not in the top of the degree of the Celestial Kingdom, then you're a ministering angel.
Yeah.
Right.
You have that lowest level when you're the slave. You're the eunuch slave.
Ministering angel. Mm-hmm. In the Celestial Kingdom.
Eunuch, slave, ministering angel, whatever. I just assumed. I always told I always told my single friends that they were going to be my eunuch angels.
That you're the unsullied, and you're the celestially unsullied, Matt.
And then there's married, no kids. Married with kids. Mm. Polygamy.
Gotcha.
Right?
Sure. I know that part of the folk doctrine didn't sink into me.
No. Whatever, dude. You're the son of a mission president. You got major folk cred.
Oh, all right, I'm gonna finish it off.
Oh, you're gonna finish him off?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Most members seem happy with the soon to be implemented system. Let's face it, says local member Larry K. Whiting. I'm not cut out for this high-paced, pressure-oriented Mormon lifestyle. I mean, home teaching four families a month? The scheduling alone takes way too much time. And then I have to go over there and pretend I care about these people when I'd rather be home watching ESPN? Give me the slow track program any day. Local member Kendra Koenig agrees. Do you know how much fun it is trying to rouse five kids out of bed for family scripture study and prayer at 6:30 a.m.? I'm sick to death of nagging them about it. And you can believe it's not doing our family harmony any good. She praised the slow track system for offering a more realistic temple attendance schedule. Like anyone who has a life can manage to get out there twice a month, this slow track program is the answer to my infrequent prayers.
So yeah, I think you're right, Glenn. This is written by a troll because it really is talking out of both sides of its mouth.
It's shaming. Its primary audience are those people who just feel superior to anyone who would be in the slow track program, right?
The guy who always shows up to help move somebody for the elders' quorum.
But it's shaming anybody who would think that a slow track program is a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, that's who it is. Like, I know who would write this. I mean, I know a couple people who just fit that because they perceive of themselves as being kind of self-aware. So that's the jabs at the, you know, because they're not the leaders. So they're the guys who they're the people who are super, super active and involved, but aren't quite like upper echelon, like Mormon royalty type people. Mm-hmm. So they can, they're that middle way of, they can take shots at those who really aspire to leadership because they've attained it. Right. Because they are not going to be there, but they're, so it's really this, yeah, this is a very sweet spot of people who aren't quite leadership material, but are doing the hard work.
Yeah. Yep. That's the contribution from Mike Tannehill.
Thanks, Mike,
for posting that on my Facebook page.
Did you know that the 95-year-old prophet's out of touch? There's this conversation the other day. How horrible this press conference was. It's like, oh, they're
so funny. Yeah, do you think people would ask them hard questions and they'd have good answers?
Well, apparently Peggy Fletcher Stack asked a pretty solid question, like, you know, the lack of diversity and the lack of, you know, women issues. And I didn't listen to the response. Yeah, he's fucking out of touch. You're like, oh, Sister Fletcher, I have a special place in my heart for you. I knew your grandparents and your parents, and your children are on missions, as I understand, and doing really well.
Who is this that's saying this?
Nelson.
Oh.
And then he's like, now, what was the question? I was like, oh, first you just pulled your dick out and smacked her with it. I mean, that was your point of doing that, right?
Right.
Metaphorically speaking. Of course, Nelson wouldn't do that. He's a butt guy. I assume. No, but anyway, and then he goes on and talks about how, well, I mean, there are 188 countries out there, however many countries, we can't represent all of them.
American. So we might not represent any of them.
As if representing one of them would actually be disrespectful to the others. We're not representing.
It's almost like he doesn't even understand the concept of why diversity is valuable.
Right. In fact,
it's almost like he just demonstrated that.
Yeah. Well, then he goes, doubles down on that and says, and really, we're not in charge. The God, the big guy, he's in charge. So we have no power. I was just bemused by, again, I laughed at it because I was like, wow, this is like playing on TV somewhere, right? This is like on the news?
It's on television.
It's on television. That's just so bizarre. And then the reaction of, oh, can you believe he said that? Can you believe this racist, homophobic 95-year-old heart surgeon that hasn't been a surgeon in 60 years?
he was born.
Is out of touch?
Right. He was, what, like six or something when the Great Depression happened. Like he was born in the 20s.
I remember a talk where he was chastising BYU students like within the last decade about kind of not being able to go to school and work and stay out of debt. Like that seems unreasonable when he was in school.
Right. When I was in school,
I went through medical school.
I tied an onion to my belt.
And I
style
had
at the time.
Four children. And my wife didn't work. Like, yeah, dude, you didn't pay for gas. Your dad gifted you the horse that you tied to your buggy. I mean, out of touch.
Yeah.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Elder E. Eldon Elderman of the Seventh Quorum of the 70. When I'm not interviewing children about their masturbation practices, I monitor the Infants on Thrones podcast for the Strengthening the Members Committee. If you really like what you hear, you can jeopardize your eternal salvation by giving the Quorum a 5-star rating and writing a short review on iTunes. I didn't, but that's because I want to be resurrected with my genitalia intact. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.